Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As you look at today's readings, they initially seem like they're kind of eons apart. The Old Testament is the story of creation. The second reading comes from Acts, and we hear part of Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. And in the gospel lesson, we read Jesus' last instructions to the disciples. Writing a meaningful sermon from those texts was initially a challenge, and I had some struggles coming up with what did I want to say? What do you need to hear on this day that we look at the Trinity of our God? One of the things I thought about was talking about the creation story and emphasizing that beautiful prose that we see there. God said, and it was good. And I thought about preaching too on the reading from Acts about Peter's sermon, but we've really been talking about that for the last couple of weeks, and we've kind of had parts of it for our readings. So I thought, well, the gospel. You can't go wrong preaching on the gospel. It's short. What could possibly go wrong? Then I thought, well, maybe I should preach on the Trinity. I could explain the Trinity in that 15 minutes or so that I preach, or maybe not. That would be a little bit tough to do, because our church fathers, each time they tried to explain the Trinity and come up with a creed that would explain that, those creeds got a little bit longer. The Apostles' Creed that we did today was the shortest. The Nicene Creed got a little bit longer. And then we come to the Athanasian Creed, which is like 40 or so sentences long. And so I realized that trying to explain the Trinity might cause some problems. And I knew you could get in trouble that way. My cousin got in trouble with talking about the Holy Spirit many years ago. In the late 50s, and she was in grade school, she came home and her parents asked her what she had learned in Sunday school, and she said, "We learned about the Holy Spirit, Daddy-o, Laddy-o, and Spooky-o." So then I thought, well, maybe it would be well to follow the advice of some great religious person, and so I came across a short article by Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon was a Baptist, excuse me for saying that, in a Lutheran church, was a Baptist preacher and religious person in the late 1800s, and one of the things that he did was establish a seminary for teaching pastors. One of his pastimes and favorite things to do to students was to call one of them up before a class and give him a topic and say, "Here's the topic, I want you to do an extemporaneous sermon on this." One such student was given the assignment to speak about Zacchaeus. This poor student stood up before the class and said, "Zacchaeus was small of stature, and so am I. Zacchaeus was up a tree, and so am I. Zacchaeus came down, and so will I." And he sat down and probably had a great career because he said things in rather succinct messages. Well, ultimately, my choice was to talk about the gospel today. I would hope that when somebody says Matthew 28, the first thing that pops into your mind is the Great Commission. It's where Jesus tells the disciples to go and to teach and to baptize. So as I considered that text, there were several things that came to mind, questions that came to mind and thoughts that I had, and so I want to share some of those with you this morning. My first thought was that Jesus doesn't say, go and teach and baptize up until you're age 70 and then you can retire. He doesn't say, well, if your church is older than 125 years, you can stop going and teaching and baptizing and just sit back and relax. Jesus tells us we are still supposed to try to fulfill that command, that great commission. During my tenure here, we've talked at some length, in Sunday school in particular, but also in a lot of other meetings, about how we might make this church grow and how we thought we might try to fulfill that great command. I may be wrong, but I don't know that anyone in any one of those conversations ever mentioned the Great Commission. Jesus' words this morning to us are a direct charge. So the question then became, in my mind, why do we want this congregation to grow? Are we seeking to save souls for Christ? Or are we looking for someone to take our place in the council, to teach Sunday school, and to organize Vacation Bible School? One of the comments that I hear frequently is, well, we need to have some young families here, and I agree with that. That would be wonderful if we had young families. We certainly remember what it was like when we had our children and they were growing up, when we had a large youth group and people went to summer camp and young people did all kinds of projects. And we remember when there were probably a dozen people standing here on the day when the class was confirmed. But according to the U.S. Census Bureau, in 2015, only 45% of adults were married. So that means targeting young families means we are ignoring almost half of the rest of the adult population immediately. And beyond that, young families today are a great deal different than they were in our day, if you will. Today, families are led by single parents, by grandparents, by foster parents, by cohabitating unmarried parents, and even gay parents. And because of all the stresses in the world today, children have behavioral problems that just don't occur to us as being possible. With both parents working today, there is less time for them to devote their attention to what their children are doing, whether that be in school or whether that be in church. In spite of working two incomes, young families today struggle financially and are much less able to support churches than we might expect. Young families today are just not what we recall them to be. They are much different than we were, and we must minister to them much differently because of that. So I thought, what are we supposed to do? Well, the first thing we might do is start by asking, what is God's will for us? And I think we have been doing that. What is God calling us to do? What is God's goal for Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Albany, Oregon? We might say, God, you know the future. Show us the way to accomplish this great commission that we read about today in the gospel lesson. How can we, at our age and with our limitations, follow that command? It would be easy for us to feel guilty because it seems like we haven't been doing a very good job. As I said, we remember when the congregation filled this building. We remember when there was Vacation Bible School that had dozens of children every summer. Perhaps the answer to that question, what are we supposed to do, comes in Peter's sermon today. That was Peter's first sermon. And let me tell you, sermons don't come easy when you first start. They don't come easy after you've been doing it for a while. Yet, because of Peter's sermon, 3,000 people came to faith that day. So what did he do? What did he say that brought that many people? It was a simple sermon. You should go back and read it again. He addressed people's questions. He told the story of what had happened. He told the story of God's love. He talked about Jesus' life and his death and his resurrection. And he called those people to confess their sins and to be baptized. It was just that simple. It wasn't complicated. So how can we keep our evangelism simple and uncomplicated? We know that God loves this whole world and he wants every human in it to be saved. And so because of that love, he gives each of us spiritual gifts. That seems a little strange, but he calls us here at Emmanuel to share that good news, to share just exactly the things that Peter shared. Those disciples were pretty simple and flawed individuals who had no education. And yet, God asked them to go out and share that gospel. And he asks us today. No, he commands us today to be ambassadors of his love in the world. He calls us to bear that urgent message to those who have not yet heard. If you talk to anyone who is in business, they will tell you the best advertising is word of mouth. When you tell somebody else about a favorite business or a favorite restaurant, you're encouraging people to go to that business, to try a meal at that restaurant. To be an evangelist is to tell the good news, to tell of how God works in your life. And so what is it that we are to do? You can point to the good work that Christ has done in your life. You can tell them why you believe. You can tell them about that certain hope that you have of eternal life because of the faith that you have in Jesus Christ. You can tell people about the blessings that God has showered on you every day. And because you can be enthusiastic about your faith as you are enthusiastic about your favorite restaurant. And so the way to answer that call today is to go and to teach and to tell your story and let the Holy Spirit do the rest. It's up to him. It's just that simple. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.